Off day for the Orioles. They're buried at the bottom of the American League East, but a lot of other things going on in MLB. Let's welcome back to the show. He's with the Bandwagon Newsletter. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline, Zach Kreiser. Zach, what's happening, buddy? How you feeling today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right. Looking at the Orioles, where they are right now in the standings, 15 and 24, 7.5 back. You know, just won a series on the road for the first time this season. Just won a Sunday game for the first time this season. Based on your expectations coming into the year, Zach, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 means unacceptable, where would the Orioles rate on your disappointment scale right now?
10 means unacceptable? Yeah, I'd say it's a 9. It's not good. That, you know, beating the Angels yesterday, that is what got them to at least a tie for last place in the American League in run differential. So they're not alone as the worst. They're just tied for the worst. They obviously, you know, this is not the world's most dominant league, the AL, that is. So it's not like they're out of it. It's not like they're toast. But there is, you know, it's been a really damaging couple, first month and a half. They're down to 8% playoff odds at FanGraphs. And I think that's probably a little low. You know, I could see this team getting hot and putting something together. But there's not a lot of pitching to inspire the confidence that that's going to happen. So you kind of have to believe that they're going to either find someone new or go out and make some deals. And I think you really have to see the offense continue to play well, which the offense has been better recently. So if they can stay in contention until mid-June, or at least close to contention until mid-June, maybe you see moves. But it's going to be hard to justify it if they stay where they are right now.
Now, we've seen Derek Shelton gone in Pittsburgh, Bud Black over the weekend, Colorado. There are some people here in our fan base that would like Brandon Hyde to be the ex-manager of the Orioles. A couple years ago, Phillies fired Joe Girardi, Rob Thompson came in, they went to the World Series. But, you know, what does getting rid of a manager in May do for a team? You know, Pirates, Rockies, they're not contending, but the Orioles still fancy themselves as that. What does that normally do to turn your season around? Because I don't see Jorge Mateo turning into Rod Carew, if you're digging what I'm saying, if they fire Brandon Hyde. You know what I mean?
I think it's tough. There are some teams that have had rebuilds and they fire the manager to kind of signal a shift from one mindset to the other. But the Orioles are past that phase. They have been very successful with Brandon Hyde. I don't think there's not much evidence that suggests Brandon Hyde is the difference between when they were winning and now. I think, you know, you might still wind up with Brandon Hyde getting the boot as a scapegoat, as a way to jolt the team. But the Orioles, more than, you know, you bring up those Phillies, that was a team that felt like it had the pieces and was underperforming. This is an Orioles team that I think pretty clearly does not have the pieces on the pitching side, and it's really hard to blame Brandon Hyde for that. That doesn't mean that they won't blame Brandon Hyde for that and make a move just to see what happens. But I don't know that there's a lot of logical backing for putting this at Brandon Hyde's feet.
Now, you talk about the American League, and, you know, outside of the Tigers, who, you know, lost a couple in a row over the weekend, there really isn't a team that looks like they've separated from anyone in their own division, much less the rest of the league. But what about the AL West? Seattle just got swept by Toronto, a team that had kind of been disappointing. The A's are still clanking around, dropping 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Texas fired their offensive coordinator, brought in Brett Boone. And after some early struggles there, looks like they got, well, home runs always make hitting coaches look great. But what about the AL West? I mean, are we throwing a dart here, or is there a team that, if you look at them on paper, should eventually rise above others?
I mean, I think that division is kind of going to be a mess the whole year, but I would still put my money on the Astros if I had to. I think they're dealing, you know, Jose Altuve had a bit of a slow start, changed defensive positions. Yordan Alvarez has been out for a little bit with a hand injury and had been very unlucky before that. I just think that is the most complete team still. They're kind of shuffling around, figuring out some positional situations there. But in the long run, I like the talent on hand in Houston because, I mean, they're getting a breakout, possible Cy Young contender performance from Hunter Brown. They still got Framber Valdez. And if you flip around and look at, say, the Mariners, they don't have the hitting that I'm very confident in. Cal Raleigh's amazing. Julio Rodriguez should be even a little better than he has been. But that's not a deep lineup. So they're really relying on that pitching that has had some injury issues. The A's are, they're performing much better. I don't think they have the pitching to really contend over the full year. And the Rangers are, I don't know what to make of the Rangers. That lineup has been diabolical exactly once in 2023. And other than that, it's had a lot of really streaky, underperforming hitters. And I'm not that confident they're going to put it all together enough to go ahead and win the division. I think you could still see two of those teams make the playoffs somehow, but if you're asking me to pick one that I'm most confident in, it still has to be the Astros.
Zach, in the MLB, a team that maybe 500 or less that you think and has the talent that they can make a run and get out of where they're at right now?
I'm gonna skip over the Braves because they seem like the most obvious answer, and I think they are rapidly proceeding to not being under 500. But give me the Cincinnati Reds because they're very weird. They keep winning games like 24-0, and then the next day they'll lose 3-0. I don't think that's going to persist, but I do think they have the offensive talent. It's a lot of younger players like Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain, kind of surrounded by some nice veteran pieces like Austin Hayes, Gavin Lux. I think they've been a little unhealthy to start the year. You got to hope Hunter Green is back soon. That would be my pick is contingent on that. But I think they've got enough pieces and enough talent that I could see Terry Francona whipping that team into enough shape to win a wild card. I don't really buy the St. Louis Cardinals, who are ahead of them in the division right now. And the Brewers have, I think the Brewers are always smart enough to contend. But in terms of talent on hand, I think the Reds will wind up over 500.
Zach Kreiser, Bandwagon Newsletter. Tell everybody about that, Zach, and how they can reach your baseball thoughts and opinions here.
Yes. So three times a week, Hannah Kaiser and I write a newsletter about baseball analysis, fandom, and the culture around the sport. It is bandwagon.substack.com. Today, you can find my very silly analysis of guys named Pete being the best players in baseball, which has never happened before and might happen this year. So go check it out on Substack.